used to be the gopher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was the gopher.
And you shoved your driver up his ass.
Yeah.
That's pleasant.
I did what Bill Murray could never do.
Market Toast Podcast, where we take a piece of media out of the cupboard, dust it off, toast it up, and serve it as something completely new. This is episode number 51, and today we are jumping off of Joe's pick of Caddyshack, which we didn't tell any of you about until just now.
Yes. It's an iconic film.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Caddyshack 1980.
On Netflix, yeah. Starting this month.
Yeah, It started on Netflix on January 1st, which kind of led to my pick.
Yeah, I'm thinking that we may kind of take that as a criteria, just because it seems to work that way. If we're doing two picks a month, we can go off of
what's new on Netflix,
yeah. Amazon Prime, and find something. Unless there's just not something, and then we can dig into a different well. But Caddyshack.
Yeah. I mean, actually, when I saw the What's New on Netflix for mm-hmm. the month of January, it was the first thing that, like, caught my attention. I'm like, oh, my God, I love this movie.
Right.
It's Bill Murray. It's Rodney Dangerfield. It's Chevy Chase. Directed by Ghostbuster Harold Ramis.
Yes.
You know, it's got everything that, like, a quintessential 80s comedy
right.
has.
Yeah. And it's
got a gopher.
It's when former SNL cast members doing a movie was a good thing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Great in the 80s. Terrible in the 90s.
Hit or miss in the 90s. Because you had Wayne's World.
That's true.
You had the early Sandler movies, which, you know, were crap fluff, but they were fun.
They were at least very, very funny. And then, you know, 2000s.
Yeah, and now it's no. Yeah, no, they just should just not do any.
Tina Fey and Bridesmaids. Amy Poehler. Bridesmaids was good. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, their stuff's usually pretty funny.
People are going to hate me, but Ghostbusters was fun.
It
was a good movie to just go watch and
Ghostbusters,
stuff some popcorn in your face.
Ghostbusters' problem was that it was good. But the movie it was remaking was so iconic.
Yeah.
That it was never going to live up to those standards.
Right. But, you know, it.
And really,
but,
actually.
But it's thing, probably better it. Than Ghostbusters 2.
Oh, it was. Here's what killed it, though. Harold Ramis aside, the entire original cast is still alive.
Uh-huh.
And they everybody all came was in. So pissy that they didn't remake the movie, mm-hmm. that they weren't in it.
Right.
That really it was sort of set up to fail.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wanted to see the original cast.
Mm-hmm.
And when they didn't get it, they shit all over it.
Right.
And, you know, I hate that for them because really that group has potential.
Yes.
You know, as a Ghostbusters group.
Right. But
they never but really
there's
got
not
a
going
fair
to be a,
shake.
I think it's official that there's not going to be a second movie at this point.
Yeah. They never really got a fair shake, though, because it wasn't. You know, we're living in the nostalgia decade where we just want to see, you know, the old stuff.
We don't come up with our own franchises. We are grifting off of the last generation.
Right. So, you know, because everybody wanted to see Rick Moranis.
But that's because the studios don't want to put a franchise out there that doesn't hit.
Right. They can't. Well, they say they can't afford it.
They can't.
Of course they can. Yeah. They say they can't.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they put out Deadpool at negligible cost, and now it is he is one of the most popular movie superheroes ever at this point.
Absolutely,
you know,
but for negligible cost.
Yeah, for negligible cost.
So negligible that the movie makes fun of how negligible. They're like, "Wow, I got the most minor of superheroes to help me out."
You would think this mansion would be full, but there's only two of them.
Yes. Yeah. The other guys are out doing another movie. Yeah. that Ghostbusters, the most recent Ghostbusters was really set up to fail by the not the hardcore fandom,
right?
But the fandom at large.
But I mean, the hardcore fandom railed against it as well.
But I didn't, because I don't know that many people that are like hardcore Ghostbuster fans other than Curtis.
Yeah, yeah.
But
well, I
thought Curtis kind of liked it, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Okay. But you know, through Curtis, I know several of the South Carolina Ghostbusters, and it's 50-50 at best. But you know, there are groups within the mega fandom that are like, yes, this is a good, you know, this is right. a good it Ghostbusters.
Enjoy movie. It for what it is. Yeah.
But it at the same time, it does fan service. But at the same time, it kind of it doesn't pay. It doesn't do like a Force Awakens fan service, you know.
Yeah.
It kind of really doesn't mention the original movies, and you know, you get cameos, but they aren't the same characters, you know.
Right.
So you know, you don't get if they wanted to make it if they wanted to do fan service and actually make it work, then they could just be like, okay, this is a new location. This is a franchise.
Right.
And we're setting up here because there's a new threat here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We're the Chicago Ghostbusters.
Yeah, yeah.
We're the LA Ghostbusters.
Or the New Orleans Ghostbusters. I mean, come on. Right, go right. for a spooky city, the Savannah Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
You know, and just... You know,
yeah, and I mean, you know, maybe have, you know,
and you could
call Bill Murray.
Yeah, you could have Bill Murray
just be in town.
Yeah, or they're there to set up the franchise, you know, they're there for the first week and then, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
To help them get established. And then you can do like small town jokes and make fun of Southerners,
right.
You know, because in New Orleans or Savannah would be awesome for ghost stories.
Of course.
You know.
Yeah.
But you know, they went the other direction. They basically tried to rebuild it from square one, and
that happened.
And they could have paid a lot better fan service in my opinion.
They could have, yeah. Not like jack off fan service like episode 7, but you know, let's not jack off the fan base.
Let's not,
let's at least give them a smile and a pat on the back.
Yes.
You know, we're not going full on.
No. They're
yeah.
You don't need to have fellatio involved with your fan service.
Right, yeah.
Yes. But Caddyshack was a golf movie, and
Caddyshack was a golf movie,
and really the first
movie I can think of.
Yeah, they kind of showed.
Definitely the first golf comedy.
Yeah, I mean,
although I can only name like one other.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of showed the world that a golf movie can exist, and from that we end up with Happy Gilmore, Tin Cup, Bagger Vance, you know, all these.
Well, I mean, it's the thing is, like, at the time, I mean, golf was popular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in 1980, you're coming off Arnold Palmer's heyday. You've got Jack Nicklaus there.
Yeah, I mean, there weren't
He's sort of at the tail end of his prime as well.
There weren't even that many sports films. You know, there was like Slapshot is contemporary.
Now, Slapshot came after, I think. I mean, back then, I mean, you've still got like Raging Bull and, you know, Bull Durham wasn't that far after this.
Yeah, it was like 87.
Oh, okay,
I mean, it was significantly further along.
Rocky was already out.
Maybe, yeah.
1980, yeah, I think it's around there.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, I mean, sports movies weren't that big of a thing,
mm-hmm.
I don't believe. Now, I'm sure I'm probably wrong there.
No, I think you're right.
But I mean, a golf comedy, at the time, especially, I think is so absurd a concept because while golf was very popular, golf was very much still a stuffy country club sport. Yeah.
And they made fun of that. You know,
of course,
it was the nouveau riche, the right. Rodney Dangerfield coming in.
Yeah, it sets itself up for a lot of humor, though, because you've got these rich people, and then when you bring in a guy like Rodney Dangerfield,
who basically just comes in and does stand up through the movie.
Of course.
That's all he does.
But see, that was all he was prior to Caddyshack. That's all Rodney Dangerfield was known for. He was a stand up guy.
Yes.
And so, yeah, he came in and was doing stand up the whole film.
Yeah.
And of course, they weren't going to give him any respect.
Of course not.
But I mean, it's, you know, it does set itself up for a lot of good jokes, a lot of humorous situations.
Well, and Harold Ramis was smart enough of a filmmaker where he invited Bill Murray in for a bit cameo. Yeah. You know, that was supposed to be like one shot.
Yeah.
And kept him a week.
Yeah.
And made him a huge part of this movie.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, and really, he's the iconic part of the film now. It's really weird that he stole the show.
Well, him and the gopher.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you think Caddyshack, you're like, okay, gopher.
Yeah, yeah, it's the gopher. I mean, I actually used to have, like, the head cover for my driver. It used to be the gopher. The gopher? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the gopher.
And you shoved your driver up his ass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's pleasant.
I mean, I did what Bill Murray could never do. No, but it's...
You got that gopher pelt.
Yep. But no, yeah, and I mean, you're right. It was a genius thing, because that really could have been a 10-second bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 15-second bit. But it winds up running through the whole movie.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, it's a golf comedy, which, like I said, is very absurd.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you can't laugh at yourself while you're playing golf, you're probably not going to play all that long.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no. Once you get to a certain level.
Unless you're super serious, and then we're going to make fun of you. Yes.
Well, yeah, and that's one thing. It is actually, it's funny, because personally, it's a movie that I need to watch every now and then, so I don't take golf too seriously. Because I'm just good enough to where I could take myself kind of seriously, but it doesn't work for me when I do.
There you go.
So,
yeah,
every now and then, like, I need... To just go like, okay.
I need to watch Caddyshack.
Yeah, I need to watch
Caddyshack. Or Happy Gilmore.
Yeah. Price is wrong, which is actually, I mean, it's funny because we were talking about, at work, oddly enough, the funniest Adam Sandler movie. And I do make my case for Happy Gilmore because I'm not hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, what else is in the running? I mean,
Billy Madison's in the running.
Yeah.
The Waterboy is in the run. Waterboy is fun.
Yeah, Wedding Singer.
Yeah, Wedding Singer is good.
And those are the four movies from Adam Sandler that we can recommend. Punch Drunk Love is supposed to be good. Supposed to be good. I've never actually seen it, but it's not funny.
Was terrible. It's sort of funny, but he's not really the funny part of 51st Dates.
Little Nicky was... Oh.
Little Nicky! Yeah.
I actually kind of enjoyed it because that was in the... You know, the near 2000, everything was, all of the movies were biblical apocalypse
movies.
So Little Nicky kind of fit in there.
As sort of a
in that time. In that time.
What's the one that I was thinking of? Mr. Deeds. I thought Mr. Deeds was really, really funny. It was the cleanest Adam Sandler movie. Like, it was the one that I could watch with my grandmother.
Because
It didn't have a lot of swears. It didn't have, you know, a lot of, like, sex jokes or whatever. But so
it was, the Jersey Girl of...
Yeah, there you go. It's the Jersey Girl of Sandler movies. But I thought it was very funny.
It's not bad on its own, but if you're expecting a Kevin Smith movie, then it's not going to be...
Yeah, but I thought Mr. Deeds was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm the only one. And actually, the funniest part of that movie was... John, I cannot remember his name. John Tortorella or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
He's the guy who played the Jesus in Lebowski. He's hilarious in Mr. Deeds.
Yeah,
as the butler.
Okay,
so
I have not seen Mr. Deeds. So.
Yeah. If you ever have if you have an hour and a half of your life you don't particularly care about, watch Mr. Deeds. I'm not saying go out of your way. I'm saying if you break a leg and you're like 3 days into being, you know, if you're ever. Like, bedridden. And you're 2 or 3 days in. Maybe throw Mr. Deeds on.
But I think you have to... I actually have to pay money to watch it. And that is an obstacle that I'm not really sure I can overcome.
That's too far.
I'm not sure I can do that $3.
We may actually have it. It's probably over there in the DVD box.
That would involve actually, you know, transporting it somewhere. That's... You're wanting a commitment from me in this movie, and I'm not sure this is ever going to happen.
No.
Yes.
No. Well, if it's ever new on Netflix, I'm going to suggest it.
There you go.
There it is. But, and to me, Caddyshack it's got a cult following.
Yes.
I mean, it does. Yeah, to this day, you can find Caddyshack merchandise.
Yeah.
You know, and you find it in weird places. You might find it at Spencer's, which is kind of a spot for a lot of cult following movies.
Yeah.
You can find Caddyshack stuff at freaking Golfsmith. Like, I can go to the golf shop in the big golf superstore in Greenville and find Caddyshack stuff.
And the,
still, 37 years later.
The funniest thing for me is just when you look, you know, if you haven't watched it in a while and you think back on Caddyshack, you don't remember that the caddies were the main part of the movie.
Yeah.
But when you actually watch it, it is. And it's like, oh, okay, it's all about the caddies. But thinking back, you don't remember the caddies at all.
No.
It's like, okay, the main part of the film is completely forgettable.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's what happens when you bring in
these. It's all the side quests. It's all the chocobo racing that you remember.
Right,
you know.
Right. But that's, you know.
You don't remember the quest for Sephiroth. You remember the chocobo racing.
But the thing about that is you have such good actors in those ancillary roles.
Yeah.
That and the main plot did, it kind of got hijacked.
Yeah, completely.
By the really good actors that you had.
By Rodney Dangerfield's stand up routine.
Right.
And Chevy Chase Chevy giving Chase's sage wisdom.
Yeah, which is really weird for that time. That was heading into Chevy Chase's.
Or any time, really.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, this was right in the middle of Chevy Chase's heyday, wasn't it?
Like,
right during Christmas vacation and.
No. Way before Christmas. It's probably on. Vacation was probably around Caddyshack, maybe after. This is like Chevy Chase coming out of SNL just a few years.
Oh. Sorry, because when you get to that era, I get a little.
Yeah, I think Vacation may be around that time.
Nope, 3 years later.
What, Vacation was?
Yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah,
so, yeah, this was super early Chevy Chase.
Yeah. Yeah, because this is Jane, you ignorant slut, Chevy Chase.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You see, the problem with movies around this period is that I lose my timeline. Because everything from, 75 to 85 kind of runs together for me because I wasn't really born yet.
Right. So you weren't really born yet?
Or you weren't actually born yet? So, you know, being unborn at the time, I had no concept of time.
Yes.
Nor did I watch these movies new. So
you don't remember your last incarnation when you were watching this as an old man?
No.
Yeah. Well, and it's like the current point of reference I come from with Chevy Chase, the most recent thing I've seen him in is Community, where he's very much the crotchety old man.
Yeah.
And so just jumping back to his youth, where apparently he could get laid, is just weird.
Chevy Chase plays Rick Sanchez? Or is Rick Sanchez playing Chevy Chase?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Yeah. So, it's kind of weird jumping back into an early 80s film from the perspective of, from watching an actor who has done so a lifelong,
because now you've got
journey.
40 years of Chevy Chase,
yeah.
45 really, if you go back to SNL to watch Chevy Chase. So, yeah, it's a super.
I mean, there was a fairly big drought in there for him, but
we called that the 90s,
and
most
2000s,
of the 2000s.
But he was living off his residuals from Vacation and Fletch, and
that's the beautiful thing when you have such a hot period, He probably can live off the residuals of Caddyshack and Fletch and all the Vacation movies.
Well, I'm guessing he probably didn't get that much out of Caddyshack.
Probably didn't.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know who would get, I'm not sure who signed up for all the residuals for Caddyshack.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably that blonde girl that everybody thought was hot, which is why we haven't seen her ever again.
Probably Harold Ramis, actually, is this who signed up for it.
You know, yeah.
He had a pretty good run.
Either that or it's all still in the red and the freaking movie industry is still just banking it because it takes so long for a film to officially get out of the red because they...
Oh, no, this movie destroyed it.
But they intentionally throw every cost they can at it to where... The movie industry is just, eating all of the funds.
Yeah, the budget was $6 million.
Yeah.
It made it the box office 40.
Yeah.
That's before the first tape, DVD, whatever was sold, the first time it ever hit television.
But Craft Services cost them $87 million in retrospect. Yeah.
But I don't think he was even ballooning caviar for 30 years.
Yeah, somebody's getting the residuals off of it, but from our views in the last week.
Because it's still on TV.
Well, and they just got a check from Netflix, apparently.
Yeah,
so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it comes on a golf channel probably once a week, you know, because the golf channel's got however many hours are in a week.
We've got five movies to pick from. And
right, yeah, there's only like three golf movies they can show, unless you want to show like a biopic of a good golfer or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is not all that interesting.
No, no.
So, yeah, I mean, so Caddyshack comes on the golf channel at least once a week. Because it's one of the few golf movies.
Yeah.
And I don't think they can show Happy Gilmore on the golf channel.
Why not? I'm just, yeah.
Yeah. Well, because the golf channel is kind of the stuffy, country clubby.
Golf at night.
Yeah. Golf after midnight. Golf. Where's my ball?
Golf after dark.
That's what it should be.
Yeah, so.
Actually, what they need.
They need to get the USA Up All Night freaking host.
Oh, dude, she was so hot back in the day.
To do golf all night, yeah.
Well, it's funny because to me, golf is one of the sports that needs to change a little bit.
Uh huh.
It,
well, you know, Tiger's trying to give it some street cred with his hot Santa
creepy,
take.
Yeah, with his creepy dad beard. Like, this looks so weird. But then he hang out with Donald Trump, and that sort of made it
even weirder.
That's super weird.
Yeah.
Like, Tiger Woods is Donald Trump's one black friend.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's every only, racist he's only ever talked to, he says, no, I have a black friend. Tiger Woods is Donald Trump's one black friend. Yeah. Yeah, he's the black friend.
Yeah. Yeah. He's rich enough.
Yeah. Yeah. He's broken through the...
to where he just doesn't care about anyone else in the world, so he can hang out with
rich people.
He can hang out with Donald and Kanye.
Yeah.
And sprinkle gold dust in his hair.
What?
That's what Kanye went in for a meeting with Donald Trump, and some point in the meeting, he put gold dust in his hair, so he came out and he was all blonde like Donald as part of the promotional fucking shoot for at the end of that.
I'm so depressed in our country. Like, well, no, we're not.
We were better than that.
We used to be better than this, though. I remember it. Well, I don't remember a time, but I studied a time when we were better than this. I'm pretty sure my great grandfather didn't fight in a world war so we could have a goddamn Donald Trump as president.
It's the shredded cheese industry that has done this to us. We have to make America great again.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
like a big block. That just makes
want a big blocks of cheese and cheese graters. That's what we need.
Yeah.
Shredded cheese is killing the country.
Yeah, but now, to me, like golf, yeah. Tangent aside, golf is a sport that's needed to evolve, but it's cool because I found it's not in like Greenville yet, but there's a place in Atlanta that's like a bar / driving range.
Okay.
Which is a great combination because drinking and golfing go together like hand in glove.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? See what I did there? Golf glove.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry.
For some reason,
that's a terrible golf joke, and I'll apologize to the five of you that are listening to this. I'm so sorry.
For some reason, my head went to O.J. Simpson when you said glove, so I don't know.
It's a still fitting glove, though, and it didn't fit, so you must have quit.
Yeah, obviously.
Haha, 96.
Yes, yes. But, we're covering an 80s movie, so we should do 90s
shows.
Yeah, so we
should do 90s shows. Yeah, O.J. was still, like, successful in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
He was making Airplane and like all those other really funny movies.
Naked Gun was again late 80s, but yeah. You know, you were like three.
Yeah, so. I was literally three. But no, it yeah, I mean, so it's like hip bar / driving range, and like I know some very trendy people that I'm acquaintances with. Like obviously they would hang out with me. I'm not trendy, cool, any of that. But like. That's the cool spot to go.
Well, I'm uncool enough that people hang out with me because they hang out with me ironically.
I don't know any hipsters. Well, I do know hipsters. I lie. I know them. But, yeah, so it's like cocktail bar / driving range.
Yeah.
And that would, you know, that's the sort of, if golf needs to, like, remarket itself.
Which it does.
It does, because it's mainly played by people that are near death.
That and you know, and rich college kids, you know, rich kids who never had to work a day in their life for anything.
Right, like that's you know,
there is no working class hero.
Right, but I mean, that is the crowd that golf needs to pick back up because you know it's it's a sport that constantly needs to pick up new people because mm-hmm. its current players are passing away. So, yeah. I would like to get a bar / driving range. I'd like to get any driving range fairly close to the house that's indoors-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the other cool thing about it. Like, it's got these, like, overhangs tiers. Where you can, you know, you don't have to be, like, all the way outside mm-hmm. in the elements, you well, know.
Like,
because on a day like today where it's cold as shit,
yeah,
you know, I could still go and hit golf balls, which would be kind of cool.
Well, it, like in Japan, they'd have a driving range,
and it's like four tiers.
It'd be like four levels.
Yeah,
yeah. And
which is so awesome.
And you know, it's semi indoors, but the range itself is out.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, see, and I mean, the crazy thing about Japan, there's such limited space.
Yes. So you end up doing stuff like
right.
that.
So you may only go play golf 4 or 5 times a year because you have to get on a waiting list
mm-hmm.
to go play. Mm-hmm. At least you used to. I don't know how it is now.
Unless you. You know, and then the U.S. military, and then you can just go to the freaking Air Force Base.
Base yeah. yeah. But it's, yeah, but I mean, from the way I understood it, like, you have to go on a waiting list to go play golf
mm-hmm.
because there's such limited courses and limited times that people play golf at the driving range.
Yeah.
Like, this is where they have to go, you know, and those are the places that are packed out
mm-hmm.
because it's not like I get dinner, go, oh, it's 12 o'clock. Yeah, I'll see what's open. And well, just sort of meander down the
yeah,
golf
I mean, we've got like a, we've got a par three here.
Yeah.
I guess it would be quick, I guess.
Well, for me, I can just go to Furman. It's 5 minutes up the road.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I can get out. Like, I can go and be like, hey, I'm a single, and they'll just let me pop on out.
Yeah.
It might take me 4.5 hours because I'm waiting on 4 old guys to walk.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't go play there. Yeah, it's, but yeah, driving ranges are big in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
At least they used to be, I don't know. Japan hasn't grown as an island.
I used to be big in Japan, but
it's only because you're tall.
I haven't been there in like 15 years. So that saddens me.
I need to go. Like, I would like to go to Japan.
Well,
it's not like I can make a weekend out of it, though. So it's going to require some sort of time commitment.
Yeah, yeah. And the initial cost is somewhat prohibitive. You have to
fly there.
You have to have an investment to fly there,
yeah.
basically. Yeah. And then hotels are not cheap. But
yeah. So to me, Caddyshack is also, going back to the original argument, Caddyshack is also a prime example of being like, not every movie needs a sequel. Because Caddyshack 2 is terrible. It was fucking awful.
Yeah.
There's our fuck for the episode.
Yeah, well, we've thrown other expletives out there, but it's fine.
But yeah, Caddyshack 2 was miserable.
But it made money. And that's why the industry doesn't learn its lesson, because it throws god awful sequels out and hits the wall and
right.
makes so much money in the opening weekend that you know.
Oh, no, it didn't. Caddyshack 2 was way, way, way under
okay.
budget.
Okay.
Caddyshack 2 may have never made a dime.
Okay. Well, that's how they get away with the no residuals on the first one, I guess.
Probably, actually. Yeah, but no, I mean, and that was, yeah. Not every movie needs a sequel, guys. Like, lies.
Yeah, yeah.
If it wasn't built for a sequel.
Not everything needs to be a series.
Right.
And try to make... Yeah, and try to make a movie as a movie. Don't make it as a setup for a series.
Yeah, that I hate so much.
Which is what Force Awakens was. Really.
It was.
Yeah, because they left you with, here, we're going into the next movie. Here's this thing. We're not going to expound on this at all. And
but 7 movies into a franchise, you can do that. Like, it's trying to think of a... Well, it's hard to find like a new movie that set itself up like that.
I mean, like the Hobbit series did that as
yeah.
well.
But you knew that was going to be a series.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
they told you beforehand, yeah, we're going to release 3 or 4 Hobbit movies.
Yes, yes.
So,
yeah.
Like Harry Potter could do it because you knew, fuck, I got 7 more books or 6 mm-hmm. more books to get through. So, but yeah. Yeah, not every movie needs to be, oh, we're going to make a franchise of 4, 5, 6 Caddyshacks.
Yeah, and, you know, the Harry Potter movies were god-awful, but, you know, they still had money. The movies are awful.
They're not.
The movies are awful. Okay, go unread the books.
Can't do
that. Don't know any of the source material and go into a Harry Potter movie and come out and not go, what the fuck just happened?
That's how I got them originally. Like, I watched them. It's funny because I watched the movies first. Like, I'm probably one of the few people who watched the movies first.
So you watched the movies and went, what the fuck happened? I guess I have to read the book to find out.
No, I knew what was going on. Mainly because I had my wife who, you know,
who had read the
book. Got an encyclopedic knowledge of Harry Potter sitting beside me to fill in the gaps.
Yes. The sizable gaps.
There are sizable gaps.
That just don't, that they make huge leaps that make no sense if you're just watching the movie.
But not every Harry Potter movie could be 5 hours long.
Okay, so distill it down. Make it a movie. Which they tried to do starting with, like, the fourth one. But
yeah, that's true. And those tried to get better and, as the series went on.
But it's, and that's when they went to 3 hours because that's what they could distill it down into.
Yeah,
but that's true. Yeah, the Harry Potter series are crap movies. Period.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still going to disagree with you, but I think it may have more to do with my, like, love of the series than it does.
It's like if you were a child and Phantom Menace was your first Star Wars movie, you liked it.
Bullshit.
And that
nobody likes Phantom Menace.
That's not true. There is an age bracket where that liked Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, millennials. That's their fucking problem. That's the whole problem.
Jar Jar is what broke
Jar Jar Binks.
Well, it's like the How I Met Your Mother talked about the Ewok cutoff. It's like if Jedi was your first Star Wars movie, you loved Ewoks. If either of the other two was your first Star Wars movie,
you hate Ewoks.
The Ewoks were fucking fluffy crap.
Yes. They were a toy.
Yes. So that, you know, if Ewoks weren't your favorite thing in the world, then Barney wouldn't date you because you were too old. It is basically how it came out in How I Met Your Mother.
And he would ask women, how do you feel about Ewoks?
Yeah, I'm guessing. Even though, you know, he had like a stormtrooper in his apartment, and I'm pretty sure he hated Ewoks himself. But So,
but he's not dating a stormtrooper.
You're right. He's not really dating. He just wants for the one night.
He's looking for your mom.
No, that was Ted.
Yeah. I never watched the show.
God,
am I missing something?
It was a decent show.
Oh, okay. But I'm not missing it.
Final episode kind of killed it, but you know.
That's what I heard too. By the time I had actually gotten to where I was like, oh, I'll give the show a shot, like it was ending.
Uh-huh.
And everyone got so butthurt over the finale that I was like, well, I guess I'll just pass.
The problem with the finale is they're like, okay, now you've met the mother. Now we're going to fit what should have been an entire season with the mother into one episode because it's How I Met Your Mother, and we can't actually have the mother in. So they fit a season worth of freaking content into an episode.
Wow.
And
they should have just done a movie. They could have pulled that off.
Yeah, yeah. But, right. Yeah. So, who knows?
I don't know. Never watched yet.
Okay.
I've seen it like for 5 minute spurts, like on the channel surfing. I've seen it.
It's an enjoyable show. Just, you know, the finale is not great. The final season and finale, because the final season takes place over the course of one day, and then because it's a wedding day,
right?
So it's like the night before in one day, and that's the whole season. And then you get that finale, and it's like this is freaking 10 years of shit in one episode, and you took the rest of the season for one day, space that shit out.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, yeah, the final episode is kind of raw, but the rest of the series is fun.
You know, and it's funny because, like, one of the shows that my wife and I have watched, really, since we got together dating, which was 2007 or 8, is ending this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were watching the first. We went back and started watching the first season.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit! It was so much better.
which show?
Bones.
Oh, okay.
The first season of Bones is brilliant. Like, I think it just made us realize.
Do not try this with Star Trek: The Next Generation because it did not find its groove until season 3.
Yeah, I know because I've got seasons 1 and 2 sitting over there in a dusty, DVD
dusty,
sleeve
dusty,
that
dusty.
Never been watched. It's been watched once. We're like, oh, this is garbage. But you're right, though. But, yeah, season 1 and 2 of this show were so much better. And I guess, I mean, the show's going on its own momentum at this point. It's got a fan base, it's got a following, and they're finally wrapping it up. But, yeah, holy crap.
I mean, like, How I Met Your Mother is an enjoyable watch. It's a very good sitcom with a very good cast. And, you know, Neil Patrick Harris steals the show. It's really a lot of fun. It's just that last season that people have, you know, anything against. And that's the case with so many shows, you know. It's like the final season of Scrubs, which does not exist, stuff like that.
Well, and that's I think my other thing is I just generally don't watch CBS sitcoms.
Yeah,
I just never enjoyed them. So it's like I don't like Big Bang Theory.
Right.
I don't like I never really got into How I Met Your Mother or whatever else they put out now. Just have never really been a CBS sitcom fan. To me, they just sitcoms aren't that funny.
They aren't on Hulu, so you know how can I watch it?
That may also be another problem. Yeah. But I mean, to me, it's such a watered down comedy.
Uh-huh.
Most CBS comedies are that I just don't find them funny. There's nothing in it for me.
Yeah,
you know, I like stuff that's a little more offbeat, like The Office. Like NBC and ABC generally get my comedy watching.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, most of it's NBC.
How I Met Your Mother is actually a good CBS comedy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and we are at about time.
Cool.
And we veered off the beaten path like we usually do.
Go watch Caddyshack
because
the snowpocalypse is coming.
Because we didn't tell you about it.
I have to watch Caddyshack.
And while you're at it, you can go ahead and watch what we're going to talk about for next time, which is new on Amazon Prime this month.
All right.
We are going to go with American History X.
Oh, my favorite.
Which is an amazing movie, and
it's going to be a heavy episode.
Yeah, and it's we'll talk about it next time.
Yeah, we will.
That's supposed to be the last words. And we'll talk at you next time. And I'm supposed to hit stop now.
Stop. Ed Norton's got it. Toast.